Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
NBA today, the Joker reminded everyone who runs the West. We'll show you why the reigning champs are even better than last year. Plus, are we watching the most dangerous Knicks team this century? Perk has a message for the people of New York since he's president. And don't mail in those MVP ballots just yet. We'll tell you why Luka is making a late case to earn his first MVP of his career. It's time to tip off NBA today. Welcome to NBA Today. I'm Chinea Ogwumike in for Malika Andrews, here with my Stanford sis, Ramona Shelburne, wearing cardinal red. I love that. And we are efforting Tim Legler, the best in the business from Bristol. But until then, my beautiful people, the regular season ends in just 4 days, and playoff implications could not be higher, especially at the very top of the Western Conference. So let's flash back to last night, because it was arguably the biggest game of the season when it comes to the standings, with just three games left, three teams fighting for the one seed. But at the end of the day, there will only be one who finishes first. So let's get to the highlight here, Ramona. Nuggets hosting the T-Wolves, fourth and final regular season meeting between the two teams. Now, the T-Wolves have won two of the first three matchups,
look at Rudy Gobert.
They came out hot. I love this play. A big old block, and then they reward the big man on the other end.
He runs the floor. This is why he is the front runner for Defensive Player of the Year. Unless you want to vote for Wemby. I can see that, too.
That is true. The bench obviously loved it. Now, under a minute to go in the half. Look at this. Okay, nice from Rudy. Another play. 9 points, 9 rebounds in the first half as the Wolves lead 52-49. Now let's head to the third quarter. Anthony Edwards, my gosh, he just keeps getting better and better.
I thought he was about to take over this game. This was him on the road saying, we are going to win this and we're going to win the conference. And then Denver.
Yeah.
Did Denver things.
I mean, we were calling yesterday on Countdown, we need to see more AG involved, and then we got that right after the half.
He won a dunk contest, didn't he? Oh, no.
Well, no, but he's like the best honorary winner ever in the history. And like, let's talk about winners in MVP. The guy is a favorite for a reason, Jokic. But then again, Ant Edwards goes. My favorite words in basketball. And one, son, 15 points in the third as the Wolves extend the lead back to 5. But then after that, I mean, Jokic down low.
You just can't let him get that kind of deep catch there. That positioning is, there's no stopping now. Yeah. Who's on him?
Jokic had 15 points in the third, 32 points through three quarters. So
too
on
quick.
To the fourth. I mean, this is against the Defensive Player of the Year favorite.
I mean, you know he's going to spin, right? You know it's coming.
But, like, how do you stop it, though? Yeah. But you can't stop this either. Christian Brown.
Oh, come on.
Rides, throws it down with the left switch hands.
What? Over Rudy?
What? That was, I think a lot of people were saying, like, this is the play. And then the crazy thing is the next play after.
There he goes again.
Oh, that was so much fun. Back-to-back highlight reel dunks from Brown. Nuggets win 116-107. And here is Nikola Jokic right after the game.
I think the West is really, 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 really tough, and we can play in the first round. I don't know, Lakers, Golden State, whoever can, the Sacramento, like, they're all good teams, you know. So I think, yes, it's important, but you need to play your best basketball when the playoffs come.
Best basketball. It looks like we're seeing that. You know what's crazy? Yeah. Statistically, the Nuggets have been better this regular season than they were last season when they were the top seed in the West and went on to run through the playoffs. And as you can see, they have a better record, offensive efficiency, and net efficiency than a year ago. So let's welcome Ramona back into the conversation. So Momo, do you think the Nuggets are right now poised to repeat?
I think they're poised for a repeat, and I think they're poised to be there for the next 5 years. I mean, when you look at how they drafted, I mean, we all thought, okay, they lost Uncle Jeff Green, right? And then they lose Bruce Brown. But they replaced him with Christian Braun and Peyton Watson, who had 6 blocks last night. Like, when you can draft and develop players and then bring them along all season long, where that's how you build sustainable success. You have veterans, they play well, they go get paid someplace, you're sorry to see them go, but then you can draft and develop young players, and they played them all year long to be ready for games like this, and they delivered in this game. I mean, some of all these highlights, these Christian Braun highlights, these are what they prepared him for all season and were hoping he would be ready to play meaningful minutes in games just like this, just like Bruce Brown did. And he's delivering. And now you have cost-controlled young players to complement your superstars in Jamal Murray, Nikola Jokic, Aaron Gordon. That's how you build I'm going to use the D word. That's how you build a dynasty. You're starting.
We haven't seen a back-to-back champ in a while, but there are a lot of plays that I really loved watching this Nuggets game. So let's roll the tape so I can break it down, because this was the number one defense, the Timberwolves, but they said we got defense too. They gave maximum defensive effort throughout the course of this game. Jokic is on the switch. Watch the help side. All eyes are like, let me help my guy out. But watch how they move in reaction to the ball movement by the T-Wolves. Jamal Murray on one side goes from left to right like a windshield wiper just to commit to the contest. So that was truly impressive defensively. But then again, Jamal Murray's scoring ability is unlocked because he has such a great tag teammate in Nikola Jokic. So here, there's a little rejection of the screen. You're so worried about Jokic, he's able to throw up that nice, beautiful floater. And last but not least, of course we know that Jokic has a great ability working with Jamal Murray in two-man action. You get so worried about Jamal Murray scoring that it leaves other teammates, whether it's Gordon, whether it's Brown, whether it's, you know, so many players here, KCP, available to get easy looks at the basket. So to me, it was only the defensive effort going up against the best defense in the NBA, but then also just like they're so unselfish, and it speaks to the greatness of Nikola.
It was amazing. I remember when the Warriors were just getting started and on that run that they went on. It was 2015, 2016, and Luke Walton was an assistant coach there, and I said, you know, what do you feel like this year? And he goes, you know, last year we couldn't even put in all the stuff we want to put in. Like, we can just build off of what we have this year, and we can get better and better. That's what I see from these Nuggets this year. They know how to play. They know how they want to play. And they can just build and build and add to what they've already been doing because they have an identity already, and they have a style of play and the confidence of a champion.
You know what's crazy? You know, they can also flip the switch. We talked about All-Star Jokic. Yep. Was like, group chat, hey, guys, it's time to get going. The Nuggets are league best 20-5 since the All-Star break, so they know what they want, especially when it matters most. So the Nuggets have been great since the start of March. But you know what's actually been a little bit better? The Dallas Mavericks, and they were in Miami last night. Let's check out the highlight. Now in the first, Mavs down just by one. This guy, they're sixth in the NBA in pace, but it feels like when you watch him, he's slow motion with it, Ramona.
Well, that's the brilliance of Luka Doncic. He never feels like the game is sped up for him. He's just in control, and everybody has to play at his pace.
Yeah, in control. You see him diming Kyrie Irving for three. Now a few plays later, Mavs up 49-36. And watch this. Off of the miss. I mean, that's like a touchdown pass to Daniel Gafford, who I don't think he's missed in two games.
I mean, that went through three defenders. Like, to thread the needle like that with a chest touch pass.
And Luka's loving it. Now watch this again. 5 seconds left in the half. Mavs up big. Just a tough, pirouette finish. How do you guard that?
I mean, Dirk Nowitzki made that shot for 20 years in Dallas. That's his shot.
That is. And then again, they were just rolling. Kyrie
swing,
here.
Swing.
Love that little extra pass. Kyrie with the layup. Kyrie obviously loves what he sees. Mavs win 111-92. Here's what Luka had to say after the game about their success.
The chemistry is off the charts. We stay together, like I said, I always say we stay together. But the chemistry, everybody gets along. Everybody never complains, and we just play.
Ooh, things are getting interesting. It is official. The first playoff matchup is set as the Mavs will face the Clippers in the West 4-5 series, and the Clippers will be able to lock up home court advantage with one more win or a Mavs loss. Now, we know these two teams have some history between their star players. I want to make sure Kendrick Perkins keeps his belt away. This will be their third meeting in the first round in the last five seasons, with the Clippers winning the first two. Now, still to come on NBA Today. So you're telling me there's a chance with just three games left. Hear why Steph Curry still thinks the Warriors have a postseason run left in them. Plus, Jalen Big Body Brunson and the Knicks are cooking. We've got Big Perk joining to tell you exactly where their playoff run will end. And, of course, we talked about him. Nikola Jokic is the favorite for MVP. But does his case, could it be unanimous? It's only happened once. We'll debate that next right here on NBA Today with your girl, Shanae.
Now let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac weighing heavily on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue and ready for the play. And boom, Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good. The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and tequila season. Hypnotic Liquor, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sportsbook bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
You're watching NBA Today.
Only 4 days left of the regular season. Let's catch you up on the latest with a little coast to coast with my girl Momo. So let's start here in LA, where the Suns used a big fourth quarter to come back against the Clipper team, but it was without Kawhi, PG, Russ, and James Harden. Ramona, was this win for Phoenix enough to wipe out their demoralizing loss to the Clippers the night before?
This win averted disaster, but they are still in the seventh spot, which means they are still in the play-in, and that is a disaster for a team as talented as this.
That is very true. Next stop, beep, beep, Atlanta, where Trae Young returned following a 23-game absence. But once Trae hit his minutes limit midway through the third, Brandon Miller and the Hornets went on a run to close the game and win by one. So, Ramona, the Hawks and Bulls are locked into a...
Oh, my gosh. Wait. Pause. Oh, my gosh.
Thank you.
Brandon Miller.
That was the dunk of the night. Do you I know that's a...
I was like, I knew it was coming.
Do you like Atlanta's chances?
I like Atlanta's chances in the 9-10 game, but I don't see them beating Miami or Philly in that 7-8.
At least the good thing is we got that highlight there by Brandon Miller. Let's make our way back to the West, where the Thunder got their third straight dub.
Somebody guard Josh Giddey.
55th thank you win of the season. It's the most wins for OKC since Kevin Durant's final season in a Thunder uniform.
Oh,
so, Ramona, teams that got to the conference finals, that was that KD team. Do you think that this team can do the same?
I do, because they don't know they're not supposed to be there yet. Like, that's the thing with young teams. They don't know. They don't know. Hey, you guys are too young. You're the second youngest team in the league.
They don't know. Last stop, Milwaukee. The Bucks will be without Giannis for the remainder of the regular season, but Dame and company showed that they can hold it down without him, beating the Magic by 18. So, Ramona, the Bucks just need to win one of their final two games against the Thunder and Magic to secure the 2 seed. Do you think they'll be able to do it?
Yeah, I do, because you said Dame and company, but you really meant Dame and Bobby Portis. Bobby Portis. When Giannis is out, Bobby comes to play, and I think that was a huge win for them to hold on to that team.
Very true. Let's stay in the East. Now, the Knicks will be at least the 3 seed if they win out in a tight Eastern Conference where 3 through 6 are separated by just a game and a half. Now, the Knicks, they're coming, and while we were hanging in studio last night on NBA Countdown, Big Perk made us all tape a segment so he could continue his run for the mayor of New York. Here's our very best, Malika Andrews.
He might win.
When it comes to the New York Knicks, we couldn't wait. While we were all together, we needed to talk about it. Kendrick Perkins has anointed himself the mayor of New York City for this season. Richard Jefferson decided to grace us with his presence in studio. And because we're talking about the Knicks, Sinead decided to switch from filling in hosting for me to an analyst for this segment, because we need her to ground this side of the table. But Perk, because you are our resident New York aficionado at this point, the Knicks, they have been rolling. They have a chance really to get to the 2 seed. They're a game and a half behind the Milwaukee Bucks at this point. How dangerous can they be in the postseason?
Well, Malika, I didn't anoint myself as the mayor.
Actually, the city really got behind you. You're the people's choice.
The people did. And great move by them. So, number two, this team, if you look at, you know, the situation the Bucks in, we don't know when Giannis is coming back, right?
At least not through the regular season.
And even when he come back, like, is he going to be 100%, right? Okay. Then you look at the Celtics, right? They're the number one seed. How do you avoid the Celtics? You stay in range of the 2 or stay in the 3rd spot if you're the Knicks. If they hold on to that 3rd spot, they're going to the Eastern Conference Finals on the back of Jalen Brunson. I love what he's been doing. I can't sing enough praises for him. But it's the others for me, OG Anunoby. We've seen what he's doing on the defensive end. We saw him have 24 points the other night. And you know, you look at what Josh Hart is bringing to the table, the energy. They have the culture, McBride, Hardenstein. I'm telling you, man, this Knicks team is serious. Looking at the Miami Heat, they're not functioning right now. The Knicks are the second best team in the Eastern Conference. So with that being said, they're going to the conference finals if they stand that with that two or the third spot?
Now, as the second most popular person in the Knicks fandom, I understand everything that Perk is saying. I think we can overreact and we can underreact. We can overreact and say, oh, the Knicks can get the two seed. And it's like, okay, that's great because you don't want to be four. You want to avoid Celtics. But also, if you get to that 2-3, you're still battling against Giannis. And if Giannis is 80%, 90%. I'm sorry, home court advantage doesn't help you in that situation, but I do agree that the Knicks are playing the best basketball of some of those middle teams going into the postseason.
Middle teams?
I disagree the middle third. Kirk, who's number two on the Knicks bandwagon here? Is it Richard or me?
It's you.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, okay. And then secondly, if we say who has the best home court advantage in the Eastern Conference, who is it?
Boston.
Number two?
The Knicks.
Thank you. So I think getting to that number two spot really matters for them to make a push for the playoffs.
It wasn't that long ago that Becky Hammon, we had a long discussion about whether or not Jalen Brunson could be the best player on a championship-level team. Do you think that has changed, Perk?
Well, I hope Becky come back. We haven't seen her since. That's number one.
She's coming back. She's coming through.
What was your question, though?
My question was, can Jalen Brunson lead this team to a championship as the best player?
He can, but not this year.
Okay.
Right? Because, you need Julius Randle, right? You need all the bucket getters you can
get. And whoever they could get in the offseason.
Yeah, absolutely. But they are attractive. They are candy. Conference finals for the Knicks.
For the New York Knicks.
I would love it. I would actually love it. We'd be in New York City for the Eastern Conference.
When we're rolling down with the mayor of New York City himself.
Knicks, don't y'all want, the Knicks fans, don't y'all want me to come out there and hang out? Come on, y'all want me out there.
Hear that collective booing? Oh, yes, it's coming in the studio. There it is.
Back in the host chair here. Boo! Yeah, we always love to boo Richard Jefferson. Now, Ramona, can you believe it? I mean, Sunday is the final day of the NBA regular season. And of
course, how did that happen?
I don't know. It flew by. Our ESPN doubleheader includes our guy, Jalen Brunson and the Knicks, hosting DeMar DeRozan and the Bulls at 1 Eastern. Then, LeBron and the Lakers are in New Orleans taking on Zion and the Pels, 3:30 Eastern.
That is for all the marbles.
Oh, absolutely. Woo. With NBA Countdown at 12:30 Eastern. Coming up on NBA Today, Steph says there's still a pulse in the Bay. Why the Warriors still believe they can survive the West, and their two-star rookies will join us next.
Now, let's talk about the play of the week. The pressure to follow up Hypnotic and Cognac, weighing heavy on the team. Hypnotic was in the cup, blue, and ready for the play. And boom! Añejo Tequila came in with a smooth assist to Hypnotic's tropical fruit finish. Shaken, strained, poured. It was green and good! The playmaking splash shifted the tempo. Another great cocktail from the Hypnotic team. Every season is Hypnotic and Tequila season. Hypnotic Liqueur, Bardstown, Kentucky, 17% alcohol by volume. Hypnotic reminds you to think wisely, drink wisely.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt cartridge.
What were you thinking that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
There's nothing quite like the Wild West. And this season, it's lived up to the name.
The West is absolutely insane.
I'm not ruling out anything.
Edwards getting up! And good night!
The Warriors, the Lakers, the Suns.
This offense is borderline unstoppable.
Jokic for the win!
Got it! At the hole!
You know I love this. I'm a Southern girl. The West is wild, and the Warriors are no exception to that. They have 3 games left starting tonight against the Blazers in Portland, then 2 games at home against the Pelicans on Friday and the Jazz on Sunday. Our own Malika Andrews caught up with 2 of their high-impact players yesterday. Take a listen.
And look who we have here in studio, Golden State Warriors rookies Brandon Pajemski, Trace Jackson Davis. Thank you so much for stopping by NBA Today, gentlemen.
Appreciate you having us.
I am looking forward to our conversation. Trace, I want to start with you here. The Golden State Warriors, they've really turned a corner, you guys have, since inserting you into the starting lineup. You've gone 7-1 since March 27th. What's it like playing with the duo of, or trio rather, of Clay, Draymond, Steph?
It's great. I call them a three-headed goat.
The three-headed goat?
Yeah, absolutely. They're just monsters. But at the same time, being able to play with them, the experience that they have, that they've given me, the confidence that Coach Kerr has given me, also throwing in CP into the equation, it's been great.
Three-headed goat. I don't know if there's a nickname that can top that.
Nah.
It's just three-headed goat, and we're going to leave it there. But you, Brandon, what's it like, though, when you're coming into an organization that you know has won four championships over the last decade, that has these future Hall of Famers that are compiled on this team? What's it like being a rookie in that type of environment?
I would say it's fun, but it's also a little bit daunting at first. Mm-hmm. You know, you see how much they've done, what they've won, what they've done to get there to where they are now. Yeah. And then you add yourself and, you know, Trace into the mix. And, you know, you take a step back and you know what they bring, but you also know what you bring. Mm. And for us, it was finding that happy medium of, you know, what they have, but what also we bring. Steve, if we win this year, he have his 10th ring to fill both hands. Getting CP his first one would mean a lot to me and Trace, because CP has poured so much back into us.
Yeah.
Being a newcomer just like us. And I think us as a whole, collectively, the Golden State Warriors, we have a bunch of young, but we have a lot of old too. And so finding that mesh to be able to succeed, I think we've done a pretty good job.
Do you call them old when you say, oh, yeah. Oh, you were the young, yeah. You guys are the old? I'm sure they take that really, really well. I'm sure that's something they take well. We only really have a couple of days left in the regular season. It's kind of wild that we're already marching towards the playoffs. With that being said, Trace, what's the locker room like? What are the conversations during this stretch as you guys are jockeying for seeding and playoff positioning?
It's huge. The locker room has always been good. It's been good this whole year. But as you get to the end of the road, we got three big ones. We take them one game at a time. So we got Portland coming up. Mm-hmm. And so that's going to be huge. And then after that, two home games. And we struggle a little bit at home. So trying to get that in check before the play-in starts.
Does all rookie come across your mind?
Yeah, all the time. Every week I see the NBA.com's new rookie ladder. This morning, I just saw it with Trace at number 10. So to see both of our names in the top 10 list was super fulfilling. But I think in a much broader perspective, if you could redraft, you wouldn't take me 19 and you wouldn't take him 57. Mm-hmm. So, you know, we've made our impact and put our print on the NBA so far. And I think we're the best rookie duo in the league.
Best rookie duo in the league. You like that?
I agree.
Absolutely. I want to play a little game with you two before we go. We're going to start with the Golden State Warriors. Who's the funniest teammate that y'all have? You can say yourselves.
Draymond?
I'm going to say Lester.
Okay. Pick one of these two. One round of golf with Steph or a boat ride with Klay Thompson?
I suck at golf, so I'm going to go boat.
Okay.
Go boat ride.
I'm with you. Not a good golf player.
Boat ride.
All right, we're going both ride. All right. Better teacher, Draymond or CP?
Oh, CP.
Whoa, that was fast.
You could talk for hours on end about everything, anything you want to know. Not even basketball, but just life skills.
Right.
CP's got you covered.
I'm going to go Draymond.
Okay.
Just the way he's helped me defensively, how he's taught me about positioning and stuff like that. Got to go Dre.
All right. Too short or E40?
E40.
E40.
Oh, that's like Sophie's choice for me. I can't choose between those two. Best trash talker between Draymond, CP.
Draymond.
And you.
Not even close, Draymond.
Okay, Draymond's taking the cake. He gave that to himself as well. Gentlemen, thank you so much. Good luck the rest of the season, and we appreciate you stopping
by.
Thank you.
Tense, but...
I love that rookie duo. The Warriors have a 25% chance to move up to the 7-8 game. They are most likely, though, to finish as the 9 seed with a 50% chance of that. Here was Steph about how the Warriors should not be counted out.
We had a up and down year. We've had a lot going on. You know, a tragedy on our team. Like I said, all the mixing and matching of lineups and stuff. But we have a pulse, and that's all we need.
So that's Golden State shooter. So let's bring in our own shooter, Tim Legler, NBA analyst. Thank you so much for joining us and persevering, running around Bristol to just join us today here on NBA Today. Now, all things considered, Tim, do you think that the Warriors are really catching their stride right now at the best time?
Well, first, it's a pleasure to be on with two of my favorites. I just want to go ahead and say that. But, yes, listen, as far as the Warriors go, you know, Steph Curry is always worth the watch. But for most of this season, that was the main reason to sort of watch them and believe in them. But that's not the case now. They've found their stride, and they're playing their best basketball at the right time of the year. And I think one of the things that is standing out to me, they're finally getting all of their key personnel playing well at the same time. I felt like all year when I'd watch the Warriors, maybe one night it was Steph and Kuminga played well, but Klay would struggle. You know, Draymond didn't play well, or he was suspended, like not even there. Maybe the rookies didn't play well. Then other nights it'd be Klay and Podziemski would play great, and maybe Steph would have an off night. They're putting it all together now, and I think it's really because the rhythm and flow of their offense, everybody feels included right now. The confidence is up. If you were to put a tape into a machine and take a look at it as their audition for why they're still relevant and dangerous, it would be over the last 2 weeks. And that you can't ask for better timing than that out of the Golden State Warriors. Look, the path is going to be very difficult for them. There's no question about it. But at least they're playing their best and most consistent basketball of the season as we get ready for the stakes being highest.
Well, Timmy, you know what was interesting the other night? Draymond hit 5 threes in the first half, ended up 5 for 7. And we asked Steve Kerr about it afterwards, and he said, you know, we always saw Draymond as the 4 on this team, and he's finally been able to play in that role. It was supposed to be Kevon Looney at the 5. Now they got Trayce Jackson-Davis there at the 5. And so it kind of puts Draymond back into a natural position, and I think that's why they're in the right spot. But, I'm just thinking, okay, I know they got an uphill climb. I know they're most likely to be the 9, but let's just play a little game here.
Okay.
If they make it up to that 8 seed, and let's say they win that first game, it looks like their first round opponent could be the Minnesota Timberwolves, which is just delicious for all the content people out here like us.
It is.
Because you have Draymond, Rudy Gobert, and that whole thing that started last year. This is a fun, chippy first round series if that ends up coming to pass. Oh my gosh. Like, talk about full circle from where they started.
Please, full circle.
This could be the first round.
Of growth, please. Woo. Let's stick in the West here with arguably the biggest game of the night, though, because the Pelicans are in Sacramento playing the Kings, and New Orleans wants to stay in that 6th spot in the West. Now, the Pels, they are 4-0 this season against the Kings. They look to become the first team in the last 30 years to beat a single opponent 5 times as an underdog. Now, the race for the 6th through 12 seeds is going to get very, very interesting. But now, if you look overall in the West, I mean, Ramona, it's been fascinating. So many different matchups.
Well, I mean, I can't even keep track of all the different permutations of who might finish where. Like, it's just, they just got to play it out. And normally you would say, okay, this in the past, this would be the end of the regular season and people would just end up where they end up. But I like the fact that we're going to have a play-in to play this so they can settle it on the court head-to-head.
Yes, absolutely. And the race for the 6 through 10 seeds goes through the Pelicans. They enter the games tonight as the 6th seed, a half game ahead of the number 7 Suns, and will still face the number 9 Lakers and 10 Warriors after visiting the 8th-seeded Kings tonight. So it's only right to do a little cheat sheet. We're starting to feel it, right? You feel it a little bit in the air. The Pelicans, they can play sleeper in the postseason behind their do-it all-star. Major milestone alert. Zion Williamson is 3 games away from his first ever postseason appearance. Now, how did he get there? Well, he's played in a career-high 67 games this season, and he does all his damage in the paint, scoring the 2nd most paint points in the league, over 17 per game, only trailing who? Any guesses? Giannis Antetokounmpo in that category. So let me show you how he gets his paint points. First, he'll start at the rim. He's 6'6", 280, but he moves and forced a switch onto Bradley Beal. He has the handle. What I love is he has great court vision. That's why they call him a point forward. He sees the paint. He sees the mismatch. He's going to blow by in what, 2 steps, get you to a dunk. So that's starting inside out. How about outside in? Now you play him on the perimeter. Nice little brush screen. He's downhill. He's physical. This is up against Kristaps Porzingis, 7'2", one of the best rim protectors in the league, helping Boston's defense, and still able to power through. Very impressive for Zion Williamson. Now the Pelicans, they will also, though, have their hands full going up against Domantas Sabonis, who leads the league in triple-doubles and double-doubles. My goodness. But knowing how those two players play, this matchup will certainly come down to the paint. Now, voters, I think we got a voter here in Perk. I may be one. Hold those MVP ballots because we need to give Luka and SGA the floor as they make a final push to upset the race. Or is Joker's lead just too big? That's next. Girl, Caitlin Clark got a final chance to say goodbye to Iowa fans on Wednesday in a celebration commemorating the Hawkeyes' second consecutive national runner-up finish in the NCAA tournament. The all-time leading scorer for major college basketball and consensus National Player of the Year told a crowd of approximately 8,000 fans, quote, "I would say you've all inspired me as much as I have inspired you." Do not miss Caitlin Clark make the next step of her basketball career, as her name will very likely be called first at the 28th annual WNBA draft. Yes, next Monday night on ESPN and the app. Our coverage begins with WNBA Countdown. I'll be there at 7 Eastern, 4 Pacific, live.
That
from
doesn't
Brooklyn.
Always happen, by the way. Usually the draft is like right after the Final Four. You don't get to go home and celebrate.
No rest for these young ladies, but they are all champs and stars. Now, Caitlin Clark took home plenty of hardware this season, but who will take home the NBA's MVP award? Let's check out the candidates. SGA, Shea Gilgeous-Alexander and the Thunder hosting the Spurs. 1 minute left in the first. Oh my gosh, spin cycle. Shea.
I mean, he just makes it look so easy. I mean, when you look at him, he actually has the second slowest pace on the team because it seems like he's playing fast, but he's so in control.
It's true.
He's like in the Matrix.
Legs, what do you love about Shea's season so far?
I love the fact that nobody controls the middle of the floor the way he does. Such a tough place to operate, but it's his favorite spot.
He had 26 points, 5 assists, and 26 minutes as the Thunder go on to win. Let's check on Luka, the Don Doncic and the Mavs visiting the Heat. Now, Luka leading the league in points per game, Ramona.
You know, I think in any other year, he would probably win the MVP with the way Dallas has played in the second half of this season. But this is Nikola Jokic's award to win, and the only question is whether or not it's going to be unanimous this year.
Legs, the Mavs are 15-2 since March 7th. Do you think Luka's really making a push?
There's no doubt he's just going to run out of time. If he had 10 more games, he might be able to run Jokic down.
Ooh, Mavs win 114-108. And speaking of Jokic, Nuggets hosting the T-Wolves. I mean, Jokic had 41, 11, and 7 in this game. This was a battle for the one seed. And
if he had a gavel, the judge would bang it and say case closed. I mean, after this game, this was just vintage Jokic, 41-15, completely controlled the game. And he's actually having a pretty good defensive season this year. We just saw Harrison Wynn, who covers the Nuggets for DNVR, posted something. They have the 8th best defense.
And here's Jokic.
Having the best sense season.
To be honest, I think they don't even care anymore because I'm – like, I think it's the whole MVP conversation, it's kind of getting out of control. So I think I'm playing good basketball. The team is playing good basketball. If I win it, great. If I don't win it, congrats to the other guy. I think there is a lot of players playing really good basketball.
We knew how special this year was going to be just based on our practices, what Luka was doing, showcasing that all the time, really being more vocal, challenging his teammates, challenging me. And doing it in his own way. And I think that's a true sign of MVP.
So many MVPs, but Jokic is now the overwhelming favorite to win MVP at ESPN Bet at -5,000. The only other players on the board are Luka at 14-1 and SGA at 20-1. So, Tim, the odds are one thing, but they certainly are not everything. As the MVP race really comes to a close, can you run us through your top five MVP candidates, starting at number five, please?
Yeah, look, at number five, I'm going to go with Giannis Antetokounmpo. Look, the bottom line is you can't deny the numbers, and they still are second in the West. I know it hasn't been the kind of season they were hoping for, but Giannis Antetokounmpo is still doing everything that he possibly can on a nightly basis to win games. So I would probably put Giannis at five. Number four, I'm going to go with Jalen Brunson.
Ooh,
he's going to get some votes, man. And I think what it comes down to is when you look at the injuries they've dealt with and just the load he has to carry every night at the point guard position from a scoring standpoint, just to keep them in games, really remarkable what Jalen Brunson's able to do. You can't get him off his game. I'm going to put him solidly at four. Number three, I'm going with Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. I know a lot of people think maybe he's going to get the two spot when the vote comes out, and he very well may. You can't deny what he's done. Look, he's the oldest guy in his starting lineup at 25.
Crazy.
He's got a bunch of kids around him, and he is the one thing that's the constant every night. That 30 to 35, consistently dominating, creating spots for other guys, making the game easier. I put him at three. Number two is Luka. I just alluded to it. I'll say this. Nobody has had a better individual season than Luka Doncic. Nobody has ever generated more offense for their team than Luka Doncic has this year. So it's really remarkable what he's done. But again, winning matters a lot. And when you have a 6-game gap, 7-game gap, whatever it ends up being between themselves and Denver, that to me is what ultimately breaks the tie, because I think it's a virtual tie. And I'm going to go with the Joker getting his third MVP. The numbers are still there. The team success is still there. I don't even think this team was expecting to be the number one seed, yet here you are looking up. A couple games to go, they have a chance to have home court throughout the entire Western Conference playoffs. You can't deny what Jokic does on a nightly basis. Those top two guys control the game unlike any other players in this league.
And Tim Legler, we trust. Now, Ramon, I know you wrote an amazing piece earlier this week on SGA.
Well, you know, Shea was traded from the Los Angeles Clippers to the Oklahoma City Thunder as part of that Paul George deal. And I asked the coach of the Thunder, Mark Dagnall, hey, did you guys know he was this good when you traded for him? He said, actually, no. Like, he just has built himself into this. And the secret to it really is that he just keeps getting better. I mean, this is a guy who didn't even make his high school team. Unbelievable that he's turned himself into this, and he's just getting started.
And the thing that's crazy to me is that we typically know when the MVP is going, like, oh, it's like 2 weeks out. We know who the MVP, like 3 games left, and we're still having conversations. Tim, thanks for hustling for us. We'll make sure we'll get plenty of breakdowns from you, especially as playoffs keep going. We appreciate you, and we will see you tomorrow here on NBA Today. Thanks for watching and hanging.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.